12:15.
Yeah. 5 o'clock, Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. We are meeting at the in-person and virtually via Teams, Microsoft Teams, at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room, Pacific City, Oregon, December 10th, 2024. I'm going to read the rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Also, refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Also, will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and will refrain from any speech of a political nature. All right, we also have Rochelle DeLoe on the Teams meeting, or Teams virtually. Let's see.
As well as Jason Stewart.
Jason Stewart, yeah, okay. Let's see, next item of business, roll call, Director Price.
Here.
Director Anderson.
Here.
And I'm Director Donahue. I am the chair. Okay. The minutes of November 12, 2024 business meeting. I did see an error that needs to be corrected, and John helped me out here. On page 2 of 3, item B, lighting upgrade project change order. Mr. Wesley explained the project is 97% or 90% complete. One unexpected thing was out at Horn Creek, the lights in the office laboratory there is single phase instead of standard voltage. That should
Three phase. That should actually it's 480. It's 480 single phase. I thought it was 480 three phase, but it's 480 single phase.
So it's 480 single phase, yeah, instead of 120 volt single phase. That should probably be corrected.
I agree. Yeah.
Other than that, are there any other corrections or additions? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the Board of Directors business meeting minutes from November 12, 2024, with noted amendment.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes for November 12, 2024. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried unanimously. We just have a new guest at 5:03. It's Tim.
Online.
Online, yes.
And we have one guest present.
Item 5B, fiscal year 24-25, our general ledger. Any questions about the ledger? Hearing none, we'll move on.
I'll make a motion that we approve the accounts payable.
Thank you.
For November 5th, November 15th, and November
30th,
2024.
Just one second.
Oh.
Accounts payable.
Oh.
I jumped ahead one. Thank you, Ann.
Accounts payable?
Yes, we need a second.
I know. I wanted to make one comment.
She had a question.
Too late.
Yeah.
No. For November 30th, there's this, now I've written over it, Taga Construction. It says second half of the remote.
Yes.
It was $73.90-something.
Yes, that was, you may have read in my manager's report about renovation of some of our structures and buildings at our well fields.
Right.
Six different sites, and that was the second half of that project.
So I guess my question is, that's the final. That's the final. Okay, that was really what I wanted to know. That was the final.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you mentioned Taggart Construction, so
right?
I'm questioning myself. Rochelle, if you can hear me, that is what Luann was referring to, is it not?
I think here she comes.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
You're breaking up a lot.
Taggart Construction.
Yeah, Taggart Construction for just north of 7,000. Wasn't that final payment for the well building renovations?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was the final payment, not just. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Are there any other questions about accounts payable?
Then I will second Ann's motion to approve.
We have a second to approve accounts payable for November 5th, November 15th, and November 30th, 2024. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Item number 6, manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom.
Floor.
Did we have questions about the fiscal year report?
No, there were none.
Okay. Thanks.
So, in the manager's report, I summarized the completion of a handful of projects. At any given time, we're usually working on 3 or 4 of them. The lift station upgrades at Cindy and Roger are now completed. The system-wide lighting upgrades was to replace our older, inefficient lighting fixtures with modern LED high-efficiency fixtures. That project is complete. This is the project that we are eligible for a significant rebate for. And we are working just to finalize the paperwork and stuff to close the deal on that. That project successfully completed. The West Shop building lighting installation. Our West Shop building has interior lighting for the first time, and actually an exterior wall pack as well provide some additional exterior lighting. That project has been completed. The well-filled building renovations, as I mentioned, these were structures that housed our chemical feed systems, our well pumps, our control panels, and the like out at our 6 wellheads. Those buildings had been in place a long time, and they were quite dilapidated. The weather and the elements have not been good to those buildings over the last 15 years. Those buildings have been renovated. That project's complete. And you might recall that we had closed down, we had planned to close down one lane of the Beachy Bridge, the Pacific Avenue Bridge, to allow us to replace 2 faulty air and vacuum relief valves on our sewer pipeline that is connected to the bridge, spans the river via the bridge on the north side. That project was successfully completed too. So, glad to see these projects completed, and of course there'll be more to take their place. So, I also wanted to mention the staff is the authority is now fully staffed.
Yay!
We have hired a person that I think will be a very good addition to our team, already proving to be so. His name's Spencer Herleman.
Familiar last name.
for those of us who have been in Pacific City for any length of time. Very pleased. We think he's a great choice, and he's going to make a great addition. And other than that, that's really all I've got for the manager's report, Tom.
Did you talk about this number one here, the unaccounted for water?
Oh, I didn't touch on that.
Oh, I thought maybe I missed.
No. Yes, so our unaccounted for water was somewhat elevated again last month. It used to be 20% was something that we strive for, and things have improved so much in this area that 20% is quite a bit higher than we've seen on average for about the last year. We did have a large water leak a couple months ago that contributed quite a bit to these numbers. I think what's going on now is we did have three significant water leaks in our distribution system during the month of November, and in the meantime, we're still continuing to flush our water mains. And when we do those types of things, the best we can do is just make an estimate on the water lost. And it's not a perfect science by any means. And I think that that uncertainty and the fact that that is an estimation contributed to the 20% number that we got in November. And because of that, it's hard to say that number is representative. We will, as soon as we're done with our flushing program, and if we can get a month with either no water leaks or only one, I think we're going to see these numbers come down, and I think we're going to see our ability to calculate those numbers drastically improve.
So.
I had one question relating to that on the graphs that you provide us. Mm-hmm. I noticed on the water produced graph you show a little over 600,000 cubic feet, and for billed water, we have, well, that wasn't what I was looking for. Unaccounted, unbilled for water, you had 20%. But if we had 600,000 cubic feet produced and we billed for about 500,000, isn't that more than 20%?
It is, but if you look at my unaccounted for water report.
I'm looking at that now.
So there's really four pieces to this calculation. You've got the water produced from Horn Creek and the wells, which is represented by the top table.
In this case was almost 5,000 square feet, it said.
Yeah, and I can interpret that too. It's 4,765,000 gallons.
Yeah.
But then we factor
that's
in
not
the
cubic feet.
No, that well, we report it in the graphs as cubic feet. I report it in the unaccounted for water report as gallons. You know, that might be something to ask the board. We can easily change cubic feet to gallons on the graphs too if you think it would be more relatable.
Well, these are hard numbers you're using that you're reading from their meters.
Yes.
So that means all our meters are measured in gallons, not cubic feet.
Well, our meters are measured in cubic feet, but they're converted for this purpose. And so, you know, a couple of pieces to this calculation. There's the water produced wells in Horn Creek. There's the change of water storage that we have in our inventory and storage at our reservoirs. Then we look at the other side of the coin, which is the water consumed. This is the billable water. The gallons there was 2,991,000. But then at the bottom, you account for flushing, known water leaks, and we do use 75,000 gallons typically as process water just to supplement our treatment processes. So there is quite a delta there between just looking at the water billed and the water produced. But until you factor in our water storage and the water used or lost, whether it's processed water, flushing water, or known water leaks, you have to factor that in to calculate the true number. And so you really got to look at all of these things at once to really get a feel for, you know, where that water went, how much was made, and so forth.
The charts seem to help for relative 1 year to the next, which I think is one of the, or 1 month to the next too.
Yeah.
But this is the data that it's really built on.
Yeah.
So if we want to do a deep dive, we go here, and if we want to go deeper dive, we call you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think you're right. The charts just give us
just a visual.
Just a visual.
Yeah.
To look
yeah.
out there.
And so like I say,
and they're helpful. I like them.
And whether you do it in gallons or cubic feet, it's going to be the same chart.
Well, it'll show.
It'll be relative.
It'll be relative. If you guys just think that roughly there's 7.5 gallons per cubic foot. So if you ever see the cubic foot numbers, want to know what that equates to in gallons, just multiply it by 7.5.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item number 7, under finished business, we don't have any. New business. John sent out a note with his manager report in the packet this month about board member trainings and reimbursements, and it was just a feeling of how the board felt about what's going on. No one, to my recollection or John's, has ever abused any of these trainings, employees or board members, even past board members. But he was curious as to how we account for it. We've been, in my case, I've been to a couple of these SDAO conferences and trainings and such, and the mileage was the to and from mileage that Rochelle calculates. And I understand you have, for employees, you have a regular form to fill out for per diem and a mileage and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, that's one of the differences is in our employee handbook and with our employees, the rules regarding travel expenses, you know, mileage, how much per mile, per diem, what does that look like for meals? Lodging, when do we allow lodging and you know, is there a travel distance beyond you would want to offer the lodging, but if it's within an hour or 45 minutes, would you expect to just drive there in the morning, drive home at night and save the authority the lodging costs? On the employee side, there's a lot of rules and everybody understands the rules of the game, but when it comes to board member trainings, which, by the way, I support completely, I don't have that same set of guidelines to go by. And that was why I just wanted to bring this up as a topic, because I know that board members have gone to trainings. There's valuable trainings out there that help board members be better board members. And I think that is all worthwhile, all well justified. My only concern is it's I don't have the set of guidelines to go by, and I was wondering if the board had any thoughts about that. I don't know if this is something that we might want to add to our growing list of board member resolutions, but and maybe we just say that the board members follow the same guidelines as the employees.
That was my thought, but then I didn't take the time. I won't say have the time. I didn't take the time to go to the employee manual and read that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a reasonable starting place if we all get familiar with what's in the employee handbook. Is that something you could clip and send out? to
absolutely.
I guess my only concern would be is if there's something in there about approval, how to get approval to go to these. The board would be different than the employees for that. But I don't know that that's, I haven't looked at it either, so I'm not sure.
Only in that it would be approved by the board.
Right, yeah. Rather than
the authority manager.
I don't know.
Well, and that's a question. Yeah. I mentioned the SDAO model that we have adopted as a general guideline. It doesn't give us a lot of help in this regard, but there is a statement in there which implies that a board member attending a particular training should be approved by the board. But I don't have any preference. Yeah. It's just something I've observed.
Yeah, and I don't. It's not a big deal to me, but I do think that we ought to pretty much follow whatever the employees are doing for the reimbursement piece of it, particularly.
Yeah.
I don't think we need a board approval for any particular training that a board member wants to go to. That would kind of because travel for employees. We offer them the same opportunities for trainings, and they don't need board approval. They just let John know that they'd like to go, and
then it's up to me.
And it's up to you. See.
There is an approval process, though. I'm going to push back a little bit on that idea. There is an approval process where the manager approves employee travel, and I think when we're dealing with public funds, it's a responsible position to have it approved by the board if it's board travel.
If it's board travel,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And that was my concern. If there's something about approval, that basically the board's not going to you for approval to go.
Right.
It's, you know, if that's written in there that employees have to get approval, well then okay. So then it's a moot point if it's not in there.
But if. If we want to add something to board member duties and responsibilities, our moving resolution, that might not be a bad idea to have, you know, a discussion and have something written up to put in there, board approval or not. SDO meetings are their business. Any outside training, that's business. So there should be no problem, but John's point of adding something to it is a project we might look at, I think.
Or even to put in the resolution that the reimbursement would follow the same
employee handbook.
And I personally advocate that even if it's just a simple statement that refers to something else, I've been trying to subtly segregate rules that apply to board members and rules that apply to employees without having a single document cover both. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, even if it's just a half a page or just a single paragraph that references something, I think it would be good to just have some write-up in what I'm now calling the board member handbook. And, you know, just because, you know, I think as a group we've recognized that these rules, as far as where they are incorporated in or where they are housed, should probably be two separate documents, one for board members, one for employees, because
there are already some redundancies in. Mm-hmm.
There's some overlap.
Documents.
Still having separate documents, I think.
For example, I've traveled considerably working for the state, and I do believe that Rochelle, as far as mileage is concerned, there is a standard for mileage that changes every year, and it's that number is put out first of the year by the United States government. And that's the standard the state follows. As far as reimbursements, they pretty much follow similar things for that. So possibly we could, instead of referencing SDAO or our handbook, You could say something like common federal or state government practices.
Well, and even our employee handbook references another standard.
Well, and we are a governmental agency, so so it makes sense as a governmental agency for us to be consistent with the state of Oregon.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll just table this discussion for until we have a full board of officers or board of directors, and someone can kind of take that on. And after
in,
just
in the meantime, could we ask John to forward us the language out of the employee handbook on employee reimbursement, so we're everybody's on the same page for what
and
that
if,
means?
Forward us a copy of the form too to give us an idea of what we're looking at.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you're talking about the form to apply for reimbursement. Those,
yeah,
those
for per diem.
Things?
What per diem is? How you? Does the form show? I know, like the state. It a per diem related to three meals and lodging. And they kind of separated the meals and lodging, because oftentimes the lodging was pre-set up for you by admin staff. But then you had to have so many hours working hours before you were allowed, or travel hours before you were allowed breakfast.
And we don't have that.
I don't know if that's in your how you work your per diem, but I'd be interested in seeing how that works.
Yeah, I'll definitely pull some information together and send it out to the board for review. Just, you know, so you can see what we've got on the books for employees.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. Next item. Item B under new business, board member vacancy applications. And this gentleman here is Dan, isn't he?
Yeah, that's Dan.
Okay. We have, it's unusual that we have this many applications. And I only know one of the applications and just barely in passing. So I'd like to suggest another meeting to discuss all of the three applicants, and then arrange for interviews of how many we want to suggest for interviews, and then vote on them and make our pick, and then let both or three applicants know what the situation is by the end of business day.
So I'm not sure I'm clear on exactly what you're proposing. A completely separate meeting for this purpose? So
yes.
Like a special meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be an executive meeting, although
it actually should not be. It's a very public process.
Yes. Well, we could. We may, according to the deal, but I don't think it's necessary. I agree with you.
I don't think it would be a legal executive session.
It should be a public process. But I'm thinking the week prior to our January meeting,
So then we're missing one board member not knowing availability.
That way, for the first of the year, we'll have our pick seated.
That would be...
For the first year.
It would be nice if we could definitely make that choice and get it done in January, because we've kind of drunk this on for a little while. So
the special meeting would be...
The week before our regular meeting.
The week before the regular meeting.
Right.
And it would consist of all three candidates and discussion with each candidate in the public meeting.
I think we discuss candidates first and then interview candidates right after.
So help me understand the distinction in your mind between discuss and interview. Because what we did previously was just each board member, if they had questions of an individual candidate, would ask the question, we'd get an answer, and then talk with the next person. And
I don't think it's fair to the candidates to be present when we talk about them and have then individual interviews afterwards. While we're discussing their applications,
So would it be in your mind that we might eliminate a candidate at that, in that early stage?
Yes. And pick, well, when after we do our interviews, we're going to pick. Because it's a week before, so we'll have discussion, interviews, and make a, and have a vote to pick our candidate.
But you're suggesting that in that first stage in the discussion, that we would, as a group, eliminate possibly a candidate?
Yes.
Whom we have asked to come for an interview.
No, we haven't asked anybody for an interview yet. I was hoping to kind of
do this.
I was hoping to have this discussion here tonight.
But we have
a candidate here, and you're most welcome. But
I don't think it would be appropriate with. I don't think that would be appropriate without having it on the agenda as what is actually.
Well, it would be an agenda, of course.
Well, the board member vacancy applications does not specify a discussion about the candidates. And I think that would be inappropriate to do that tonight.
Well, I don't think it's fair, I don't think it's fair to have a discussion with all three candidates present.
Why don't we just speak with each candidate separately and then have a make a decision?
In other words, have interviews, not discuss them.
Right.
Just talk
with each candidate who's put their name forward.
Okay, have separate interviews for that, so they would only be the only person present besides the board, current board, correct?
I suppose.
It's still going to be open to the public.
Yeah, it would still be open to the public.
It's going to have to be a public meeting.
Right, it does have to be a public meeting. So have a conversation with each candidate separately in the first part of the meeting.
No, make invitations.
And then have
for
our discussion
time.
Amongst ourselves and make a decision. And then
notify the candidate.
Notify the candidate. So
okay.
The candidates are waiting in the wings for us to notify them? Is that okay.
Or they can go home, we can call them up, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And once appointment's made, then the first of the year, we'll swear in the new director at
the first meeting in the year, in January.
So the next point, or the next idea is what day is good for you guys. Or maybe, John, you ought to send out a query so Kathy can figure out what's good for
you. Yeah, it'd be nice to have Kathy respond first.
Yeah, and... The reason we put this off a month is because we're missing a board member. Do we know that Kathy will be back a week before the next one?
I think she's back now.
She just wasn't back in time for tonight.
I think she comes back Saturday the
14th. Oh,
she's coming Saturday.
So she'll be here. She'll be back in time.
In January. She'll be here in January.
Yeah.
I mean,
as far as we know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So the regular board meeting is the 14th.
So we could try to do it the week prior?
The week before would be the 7th of January. Which it seems like it would be fine with me. You know, the holidays are going to pretty much be over, mm-hmm. I think. And people traveling will probably be back by the 7th, I would think.
Do you have any conflicts, John?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that will work fine. The board meeting's the 14th, which is a late board meeting. That gives us even a little extra time. You know, a special meeting sometime during the week of January 5th, I think would work just fine for me.
It doesn't have to be the 7th, it could be any day that week.
And then it will depend on availability of our candidates. Because if one or more of them is out of town, that won't work.
So when we get a hold of the candidate, should we say Tom Jones, he comes in at 5 o'clock, Mary comes in at 5:30, and then the third one comes in at 6?
Something like that,
okay. I don't think a half an hour would be more than
that. Yeah, we want to allow enough time, though, because it's...
I'm just taking a time, yeah.
I would envision it as a give and take, question and answer back and forth. And so the candidates may have questions.
I don't think it would take a half an hour, but...
Yeah, I don't think it will either, but it'd be nice not to be cut short.
Maybe schedule it like that. And, I mean, with the candidates, say, one, two, three. And then afterwards, we can discuss it, make a decision, and let them know.
With the goal of hopefully swearing somebody in at the in the January business meeting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Fine with me.
Cool.
That sounds like it will work.
We gotta get this done.
So John, will you make the queries?
I will.
All right.
I will. And so once I make the queries, do you want me to just set a date and let people know, or do you want me to bounce the best date for the candidates off the board to make sure they're available?
Either or.
I don't know.
Either or, whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll work it out.
Yeah.
We'll work it out.
Yeah.
All right. Item 9, guest questions and comments. Yes.
I don't know if I count as a guest, but
I was going to say, are you a guest?
Not technically. I'm not saying anything bad, but there have been a couple times that we have to get checks signed in a timely manner, and Tom's unavailable, and then nobody else is available either. So I was wondering if we could maybe set up a schedule or something with one of you guys. We do payroll every other Tuesday. I can make sure that it's done before 10 o'clock, and you could say, I'm looking at my email 10 o'clock to approve. It's always every other Tuesday.
And I apologize, but I've been having so many doctors.
It's not just you.
I think it's a very, very reasonable request.
I
the details of how we work it out. I think
it's
we need to do it because we've got to keep the wheels rolling. And we can't be the reason why people don't get paid.
Right. You're going to have a very angry staff.
So
I hate it when they come out with the pitchforks.
It'll be easier when we have another board member.
Yes, absolutely.
So it might be something, what would you envision, like a rotation kind of thing?
We could do that. I don't know if you want me to always start with Tom and then go Kathy and then Luann and then you.
Oh.
Or I can rotate it and you guys could say, I'll take one day a month. Or every other month.
We have usually two check signings. This month was unusual because we had three.
We did, yes. And luckily,
but this is
Ann
payroll.
Walked in that
this
day
is
anyway.
Payroll you're
this
talking
payroll.
About.
Yeah, this is specifically payroll.
Payroll is just reviewing the document. It's
that's
not signing
just
checks.
Yeah, you don't have to come in for it. I can just send it.
You have to be at your email and look at it.
So we're dealing with two things, then, the check signing and the payroll?
Well, payroll is kind of like check signing. It has to have two sign-offs.
Oh, I see.
John signs off and a board member signs off.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But at that point, it's just a review. They don't need a signature from a board member, right?
Well, I mean, they usually, Tom will usually email me back and say everything looks
everything's
good.
Everything's good.
You have to have some confirmation.
It has to be a confirmation,
but not a signature.
Or else the auditors think that I'm crazy and just writing checks willy-nilly.
I rarely ever see anything out of sort on the payroll anyway.
This ought to be perfectly manageable.
It really should.
Yeah. Works for me.
Yeah.
What? Specifically, what are you referring to works for you?
A schedule.
A rotation? Is that what you're
rotation.
Rotation?
That's fine.
Okay.
And we're still all available if something pops up for whoever's on the schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there, unfortunately, there is a phase two, which is AP, that does require somebody to come in and sign checks. But I think the real time crunch is payroll.
Yeah. With AP, usually Shamra and I can schedule it a little better, especially like if John goes on vacation or if we know he's going to be gone one day, we'll do it the day before. That way we know that we have at least one signature.
Right. But the email on the accounts payable, it's not quite the same as payroll, even if you have a big
All right.
I get
cool.
It. I get
that one's
it.
Kind of
okay.
Not schedule too. It's the 15th and last day of the month. Always.
Right.
Okay. I believe you're Dan.
Yes.
You have a comment? You've
I
been
have
watching
a question.
This? Sure.
So the unaccounted for water record. how does the fire district account for water usage to the district, like burning two houses down?
Well, and when they did that, I was wondering the same thing until I was told that you guys weren't going to be connecting directly to a hydrant. You were going to fill from the tanker of your trucks, which still needs to be filled somehow. If you guys, how often, I mean, in a fire, you're going to connect to a fire hydrant, and we aren't worried about the water at all. But for other activities that are not necessarily more planned and not on an emergency basis, if there was a way for the fire department to communicate to their best estimation how much water was used. I do know that in terms of hydrants in town, we prefer that if you guys need to fill one of your trucks from a hydrant, that you do so using one of several predetermined hydrants to do that with, just so that we have just, mainly it's we want to make sure that we aren't stirring up sediment in the lines that might lead to water quality complaints and stuff of that nature. But I don't know how often you guys use the water. As I say, an emergency fire, I don't care about the water. But for, you know, things that are planned or are more maintenance driven, if there was a way where you guys can estimate how much water that you took out of our system, I can add that to this calculation.
Yeah, that'll help.
How would you estimate that ever?
Yeah, I guess the what I see is there's the occasional training that we do, and for my station 82, which is here, we'll hit the post office and fill before the engine goes back in the facility.
And you guys probably know the volume of your tank.
Typically, if it's empty, it's 750 to 1,000 gallons.
And to be honest with you, that's such a small quantity of water, it won't even skew this by a tenth of a percentage.
We have tenders that will take a tender that is 3,000 gallons. But oftentimes, that's being filled on a fire in Nesquin,
sure,
or out on the other end of the district, the north end of the district. Not necessarily here locally.
So on a monthly basis, and again, we're not talking about fire emergencies, but on a monthly basis, what would you estimate your water usage would be?
That's a really good question. It's so dependent on whether we've taken a rig in for service, we dump water before we take the rig in to save on fuel,
yeah,
going and coming back,
yeah,
where that engine goes. If it's a PC engine, likely it's going to get filled up here. And it's just hard to say. Old equipment, we don't know when stuff's going to go to the shop. Training, we'll typically have all our training in Hebo. So anybody that's doing any water distribution and drill, they'll fill in Hebo.
Yeah, yeah.
A PC is only if for some reason we are on the in between. We might hit PC to fill up.
Well, and based on the quantities you're indicating, I don't think it would move the needle very much on this.
And I haven't really been diligent about saying, hey, if somebody could remind the district, we just put in 1,000 gallons and filled 1,000 gallons, because it hasn't really been something that's been pushed down,
yeah,
to the,
yeah,
volunteers,
yeah,
to make a report that we used X number of gallons for.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to have a big impact.
Okay.
And the question is because it's not going to have a big impact, is it worth the hassle factor,
yeah,
to do it? And you know, and in terms of this, yeah, I don't think it's going to move the needle much. And of course, I can't speak for the board, but being who you are and what you do, you know, we're going to partner with your efforts. We're going to support your efforts. You're going to support our efforts. And, you know, so you're never going to get a bill for this stuff. But anytime you think you might might take more than usual. If you think about it and want to throw me some numbers, I'll add it to the total. But we're you know, and in terms of a fire emergency, we're not going to make you install a water meter on the hydrant before you hook up your hose. So, you know, but I think that it's a probably not a non-factor.
Well, you answered the question. It's fairly insignificant.
Yes.
Overall, compared to 4.7.
Yeah, those numbers get pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you were to fight a big fire, we might try to estimate in our own minds what that might have looked like in terms of usage. Again, not for billing, but just for trying to come up with the most accurate numbers we can for these totals. But short of that, it's...
On the house fires, did you just use out of the tankers, or did you use...
They probably hooked to the hydrant.
Yeah.
I thought I saw a hook up to the hydrant, but I wasn't sure what all was going where.
It's okay, I'm just curious.
And we did get some feedback, at least I think it was the incident on Cindy, where the nearest fire hydrant that you guys had a hard time even getting the cap off of it. Once I heard that, we went around to every fire hydrant and put anti-seize on all the threads on the fire hydrants.
Thank you.
Because when life and property are on the line, we don't want you guys to struggle to open a fire hydrant.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than the guy that's on the hydrant not being able to get it open and somebody's calling for water.
That's right. That's right. And we didn't want that to happen. So when I heard about that, we took measures to prevent that from happening again. And we hit every fire hydrant in town. So.
Well, thank you, Dan. Next item is Chair Director comments. This is the Christmas season, so I have cards here.
How nice.
Would you pass that to Ann? Is anybody going to see Kathy?
I'm going to see her.
Thank you.
Would you give her that card? Thank you very much.
Yes, I'll see you.
I did buy gifts for the employees. And,
how nice.
They'll be presented at the potluck on the 18th.
Yeah, yeah. What time are we getting started with that?
I wonder, 11:30-ish.
11:30-ish. Okay. Okay.
So, are there any other comments, Ann? Luann?
No.
All right. This meeting is adjourned at. I just took the glasses off. Okay. It is
6:47.
5:45.
Or 5:47. I'm sorry.
5:47. Okay, that works for me. Meeting adjourned.